Welcome back, everybody. NHL Fantasy on Ice. Jensen Reese, our guest, Davey Satriano. What's up, boys? June 1st. You believe it?
I can't believe it, Pete. I was looking at the Caps Twitter account. They tweeted 2 years ago yesterday was the day Braden Holtby made that save against Alex Tuch. So, Davey, I can't even believe that, man.
That was a great save. Remember, we watched one of those games all together. That was so much fun. But let's hope June is a lot faster moving than these last few months have been, guys.
Last few months have felt like forever. And did you watch that game at Foley's, Davey and Rob?
Too soon. For those who don't know, one of our favorite bars in New York, Foley's, they announced that they're going to be closing down because of this the situation. It was great. Baseball, hockey, we go there all the time. So that's going to be sad to miss that place.
Yeah, we're going to miss Foley's for sure. But Robbie and Davey, I remember we went to that Caps bar in Manhattan, in Lower Manhattan, around that time, a couple of years ago. But here in this show, we're not talking about the Cup Final series. We're talking about Cup Final odds and, of course, the series odds, which were released last week, just the preliminary starting points that we can use as a basis for our early picks. And I do think it's a fun time to get started with our early picks. And each of the three of us have our picks. Maybe Bobby B will chime in with some of his early leanings as well. But guys, where are you leaning to start with some of these series that might be a little lopsided, like Pittsburgh, Montreal, Chicago, Edmonton, ones like that?
Let's start with Pittsburgh, Montreal, Pete. I was looking at this one this morning. Montreal is plus 175. That is the best value in the Eastern Conference. Now, my gut is telling me Pittsburgh will win the series, but the value at plus 175 for Montreal, who has maybe the best postseason goalie in Carey Price, I don't think you can pass away on taking that offer.
Well, I think Pittsburgh's going to win also. And yes, they do have Carey Price, but he's under 500 in the playoffs. I mean, he's not like he's been doing great all the time in the playoffs. But in a five-game series, yes, he can get fire and win three games. So I think the Penguins are going to win, but you got to like this value here from Montreal in the shorter series.
I was surprised to see the Penguins at minus 190. And that's a pretty big price for a best-of-five series. Doesn't mean I'm going to take the Canadiens, but personally, I think the Penguins will win. But again, minus 190, that price is a little hefty for me to lay on the Penguins.
It's a heavy favorite in the Penguins right here. They are getting Jake Guentzel back, most likely. All indications have shown that. I'm taking Pittsburgh right now. Davey's taking Pittsburgh, and Rob likes the value of Montreal, which I think is very valid here. One thing I wanted to say, remember right before the pause when we were looking at Pittsburgh's line combinations, we were saying their third line looks pretty bad. Montreal, I think, has a better third line than them, and I think they can match their depth with the guys up the middle, right, like Philip Deneau, Max Domi, Nick Suzuki, even the rookie.
Before we start breaking down the players and whatnot in the series, I just want to make it clear for the listeners. The price is minus 190, okay? You're going to have to lay around $200 to win 100. Davey, Pete, if you're in Vegas, in reality, you're saying Penguins are going to win, but you're not. This is not one of your favorite bets. It can't be. It just shouldn't be, right?
I think it's Bob. At this point, for me, it's like I'm picturing myself going up to that register with $100. Who am I putting it on? I'm absolutely going for the Canadiens. And as time goes on, when we get closer to training camp here around July 10th or whatever it's going to be, I really am tempted to say that the Canadiens may win this series. Honestly, the more I think about it with Claude Julien behind the bench, with the third line that Pete mentioned, with the center depth that they have, and with rookies emerging there, Pete, I really think that Montreal, will it be a pretty series? Absolutely not. Might they win every game by one goal? Very possible.
To answer your question, Bob, yeah, I would – there's a few teams I think are going to win the series, but I would actually go the other way based on the odds and the money. And this is one of those included, because I think as for everything Rob said, there's no reason – this would not be a big upset if it happened. You wouldn't be shocked, especially with, as Pete mentioned, the depth they have. It's not like they're so far evenly matched that, to me, the price shouldn't be what it is. But since it is, I would put the money on the Canadiens.
And Montreal all season long was – didn't they have like 9 or 10 guys in our top 200 overall rankings? Like even when they had guys injured – and they would be getting back Thomas Tatar, who had a very short-term injury before the pause. Jonathan Drouin would be thrown back into that top nine mix as well. And, yeah, I think even a player like Brendan Gallagher could totally shake up that series from a physical standpoint, maybe get under some of Pittsburgh's top center skin in the other zone. It'll be interesting for sure.
Now in the East, it's funny. I have three upsets, quote unquote upsets by the odds in the East. I also have New York Rangers +120 over Carolina. I think we discussed it at length on the last show with Nick Alberga. This New York team, it's just too hot right now. I know we're all New York guys, but this is just too hot of a team, I think. And with the odds, a little bit of cash there you could win. I think that you'd be crazy to bet on Carolina right now.
This is the value play of the day. The Rangers, there's no way in the world I'm taking the Hurricanes. There's a reason why the Hurricanes wanted to or voted against the playoff format. They don't want to play the Rangers. The Rangers have a good team. They're young. They're hungry. +130. Give me the Rangers. Not taking the Hurricanes. Can't talk me into it. No question. Am I laying $1,000 on the Rangers? No. Would I put a little shekel on them? Yes, I would.
So you're not concerned with the Rangers having three goalies, not knowing what to do there? I mean, yes, they have Zibanejad, Panarin.
They have one goalie. The Rangers have one goalie, Davey.
So you think Shesterkin's going to get all these starts here then?
100%.
I couldn't believe that story that we saw that they might consider playing Lundqvist. I mean, I would play the other two guys before Lundqvist, and that's no knock on him. He's a future Hall of Famer, hands down. But, I mean, even the way Georgiev was playing when they were playing him like two or three starts in a row, remember, against some similar opponents, and he was just rocking it for them. So, yeah, I think it's Shesterkin, Georgiev, and third man on the totem pole is Lundqvist.
I want to make it clear to the listeners here. Hurricanes should not be -150 favorites in this spot. This should be a coin flip game, pretty much even odds. Are the Hurricanes the better team? Are they more experienced? Do they have more experience behind the bench? Do they have veterans on the team, whatnot? Yeah, but are they -150 better than the Rangers? No, they're not. No. So you know what? Take the even money plus and away we go.
If this was a 7-game series, I would be going Carolina here because I think they'd be able to figure it out after game two or game three and say, you know what? We're putting our foot down. We're clamping down defensively. Mrazek's finding a groove. We're winning this thing in 7. This is a 5-game series. You've got Panarin. You've got Zibanejad. You've got Trouba. You've got Tony D. And you have Igor Shesterkin. That's all you need for 5 games.
I told you that the lines from Vegas were going to come out and they were going to have a tough time differentiating between the 7- and 5-game series. This line right here, -150, is as if it would be a 7-game series. It's a 5-game series. It needs to be closer to even money. I can't stress that enough.
Great points by you guys about the specific format. So many other things that we could talk about favoring the Rangers. They won all 4 against Carolina in the regular season. From January 1st to the end of the season, they were near the top of the league in all the offensive categories, in road performance, on the season, 5th in the NHL in road points percentage. Remember, these games are not going to be played in home arenas with the crazy fans and all the great atmosphere in Raleigh. Like, the Rangers have the clear advantage from that standpoint, I think.
So I'm the only crazy one that thinks getting Dougie Hamilton back and a Sammy Vatanen is like going to really help the Hurricanes clamp down on the Rangers? I mean, am I the only one that thinks that, even though it's 5 days?
Yes. Yes, because Dougie Hamilton had a gruesome injury suffered in January. He's been laid up ever since. And to get in-game action like that, even though all the players have been off, I think it's going to be especially hard for a player like Dougie, who they rely on so heavily. And I know Carolina's got a deep defense where everyone says they do, but Dougie is the key guy there. And it's going to take him a minute, Davey, I think, to get into that playoff game shape.
And on the other side for Carolina, like, it's not like they have a clear number one goalie. Remember, James Reimer was playing even better than Peter Mrazek this year, and Reimer will be coming back from injury. So say Carolina drops games 1 and 2 or even just game 1, they might make the switch if Reimer is healthy, which he very well might be. So you're looking at a 3-headed goalie monster against a 2-headed goalie monster that really could go either way. So it's not even like Carolina has the advantage in terms of its goaltenders.
All right, let's swing to the island where the Islanders will take on the Panthers. Best of 5 series, qualifying round. We all know the storylines. Even money for the Islanders. Panthers -120. If I'm in Vegas, I'm not betting on the series at all. I really don't have any interest in it. So I'll lay out for you guys, break it down. You know, if I had a gun to my head, I feel like I got to take the Panthers. I just feel as if the Islanders are mediocre. They had that one good stretch, you know, but I don't feel strongly about it. I mean, you guys could sway my opinion on this. Again, I'm just staying away from it.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you there. I don't have a clue who's going to win this. I would think Florida has the edge just because of their offense is much better. The defenses, I think, match up even with Islanders if they get Pelic back. But for goalies, we know Bobrovsky's really struggled this year. But just seeing what he did last year in the playoffs, he kind of turned it around. And I would take – personally, I would take him up above Varlamov for the – Greiss for the Islanders. But if some chance, you know, the Islanders can get their KHL goalie and he's allowed to play, then this thing, yes, you have to take the Islanders. But if that doesn't happen and I had to bet, like you said, I would take Florida.
Yeah, if the Islanders got Ilya Sorokin, I would switch my pick. Last show I was leaning Florida. I said it was very close. Since then, we've heard news that Pelech from the Achilles injury, most likely coming back. They also have key role players that could come back here between Johnny Boychuk, Cizikas, Cal Clutterbuck. These are guys that to other teams would be an afterthought in terms of swinging the series, but to the Islanders specifically, they make that little difference, especially in the playoffs, I feel like.
That's hard to argue, Pete. I mean, you can't argue, number one, with Barry Trotz and his success, his motivation tactics, his preparation. The only thing that I think tips me in favor of Florida this season, and this is a narrow thing, but I think Coach Q, for whatever reason, I'm giving him the edge over Barry Trotz in this series. You look at a lot of things stacked against Florida. They lost Vincent Trocheck. They've got Eric Halla in there now. Their defense was mediocre at best this season. However, you also look at Florida and you see a lethal power play. For me, that also swings the advantage to Florida here. The power play for the Islanders is really even strength. The power play for Florida is dynamic. You've got guys on both sides of the ice that can release, and you've got a guy at the back, Keith Yandel, who maybe is the best power play quarterback in the NHL.
That's good points on Florida for sure. I'm curious to see what type of an impact Huberdeau and Barkov could have, because really the Islanders don't have the offensive firepower to match those guys. If they start scoring 3-4 goals in any given game on the power play, Florida's going to run away with those games. The Islanders can't keep up with a 5-4 game consistently, I don't think.
If I had to choose, I think Florida with their offense has a better chance of playing toward the Islanders system than the Islanders do as playing towards the way Florida wants to play.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really tight. I think from a gambling lens, there's not really much to do here to set yourself apart from anybody else. I did want to mention that the Panthers lost a series to the Islanders a couple years ago, what, 3-4 years ago. That was that play where Vincent Trocheck got tripped and they kind of got slighted. I think Florida deserved to win that series, and a lot of those guys are still on the roster. So maybe that's an underrated storyline. The Panthers flip the tide and get some payback for what happened then.
For a series we really don't have a pick on, we're awfully, you know, talking about it awfully much. So why don't we move forward, and I'll tee up Robbie. Robbie, where do you want to go here? I mean, give me some of your best bets. What are you looking at? What's next on your radar that intrigues you?
I'll tell you, a safe bet in the East for me is the Toronto Maple Leafs. I know a week ago we were a little bit lukewarm on that team. The more time that goes by, I like that team. The more I think about it, Tyson Barrie's last season there. He had 5 points as a defenseman in a game this season, fellas. I was looking at some fantasy stats, doing an article for that. So I like this Maple Leafs team a lot, and I think the Blue Jackets – you know, striking, flash in the pan last season against the Bolts, sweeping them. It's not going to happen this year. At least it might take them a game or two to get going. But once they get going, that team is going to steamroll.
One thing I was looking back into the history book. So I mentioned the Florida Panthers, how they lost their last playoff appearance. And they actually haven't won a playoff series since 1996, Florida Panthers. Toronto Maple Leafs are second on that list. They haven't won a playoff series since 2004. So when you look at that historically, and also, yeah, the talent gap, there's certainly a talent gap. Even if the Blue Jackets make it a series, Toronto certainly is the leading favorite and really should get the job done the more you think about it.
I'm just worried about the depth Columbus has. They're getting everyone back from injury. Werenski's there, Jones, Atkinson, Bjorkstrand. Like, I feel like in 5 games, they could just win this. And I would take the money on the Blue Jackets.
Well, I think the Blue Jackets are going to be a trendy underdog pick, but boy, oh boy, I would have a hard time believing that talent on the Maple Leafs cannot get through this qualifying round. Can you imagine the offseason in Toronto? They finally come back to play. They got a best of 5 series against the Blue Jackets. They're -160 favorites. Now, again, I don't think they deserve to be -160 favorites. I think these series, I think they all need to be closer to a coin flip. But I have a hard time believing the Maple Leafs are going to lose to the Blue Jackets. The Blue Jackets are going to be a trendy underdog pick, but not for me. I'll lay the money on the Maple Leafs. I will.
I'm not going near the trendy thing. Trendy is never the way to win money. Go with the tried and true Maple Leafs. And you know what? I can already hear it, Bob. People in the media are going to be saying, especially in Montreal, they're going to be saying, oh, the Maple Leafs, they got their first playoff series win in an off year when the format was different. I can already see it. So prepare for the excuses. Prepare for the haters. Take the Maple Leafs.
I want to see who the Maple Leafs are getting back from injury. You assume they're going to get Muzzin back and Andreas Janssen. But, like, if the Maple Leafs could get Ilya Mikheyev back from that scary injury, it was a really long-term thing. If they get him back, that could swing it for me. I think that he was a great two-way player that really provided that extra piece to the puzzle that they needed during the regular season. One question I had for you guys about Columbus, who are you starting in game one? Are you starting Elvis or Korpisalo? I think Korpisalo is a little safer, but if you're trying to like blindside them, maybe you go Elvis a little bolder.
If I were them, I'd start Korpisalo just because – it was his team. He deserves it. But I would see nothing wrong with throwing Elvis there. The team loves him. He's got that energy. Like, I would, if I were the other team, I would, you don't want to see those jumping hugs, right? I
mean, Goalie Master's not starting Korpisalo. You know it, and I know it. This is your preliminary pick now. It's got, I know you were down on Elvis. You've got to be back in on Elvis. Rookie goaltender against the Leafs round one. Come on, Davey.
If he starts, I would love it. I just don't think the coach is going to do that personally. Tortorella, I don't think he will. But if he does, I'm all for it. We know I love Elvis, yes.
Yeah, Davey, I'm surprised you're not all over Elvis. And speaking of John Tortorella, again, wonderful coach. You know, can he spring the upset? Can they play tight hockey against the Maple Leafs? Sure they can. But again, this Blue Jackets team, similar to the Islanders, where do they generate the offense from? And they're going up against the Maple Leafs team that can generate the offense. And the Leafs have got to play tighter in the playoffs. They have to understand it at this point, right? They have to understand that they can't play loosey-goosey in the playoffs and get into these shootouts. I like the minus 160 price. I do. I like it more than the Pittsburgh Penguins at minus 190 for sure. If there was a favorite on the board in that minus 150 to minus 200 range, the Maple Leafs would be my lock, my favorite on the board.
Actually good value for Columbus, though, when you consider that they had the exact same points percentage, these two teams, and Blue Jackets plus 140. So if you're looking for value, maybe with a little more of a substance, as opposed to some of those bigger long shots that we were talking about earlier, like that's good money for the Blue Jackets plus 140.
Now swinging out west, fellas, I really, really, really was looking at this morning. The Nashville Predators minus 125 against the Yotes. The more I think about it, the more I like Nashville. The only concern, Pete, that I was having was the Saros versus Rene debate. Saros was obviously trending up major, one of the hottest goaltenders in the league before the break. So do you go back to Rene to get the vet experience, or do you ride the younger guy, the guy that we've been waiting to take over the reins there for the Predators?
I think they're going to go with Pekka Rinne in the first game, but to me the thing is, if you look at the goalies on the other side, Kemper there, who, you know, was injured, and Arizona I think has a better goalie tandem in this short series, so I don't really like the price though. Was it plus 105 for the Coyotes? But I do think that the Coyotes have a good chance of winning this, but the money isn't enough for me to say I'm going to go and play this. But I like Arizona's goalies personally. Nashville's had problems. Saros, I don't know. Does he have playoff experience? Maybe relief? I don't know. But probably. But
I don't think so.
Right. Rinne, I can't say I'm going to take a team with Pekka Rinne in goal unless he scores one, which maybe he could. But I can't go there.
It's possible. It's possible. He did score the only goalie goal in the league this year. I do think that one underrated storyline in this series is that Arizona's defense, when it's healthy, is not really that far behind Nashville's from a scoring standpoint or a defensive standpoint. And that could really help Arizona favor, turn the tide in this series and beat the Predators. I think that Jacob Chychrun is a significant injury return. This guy had 12 goals as a defenseman who also missed, I think, 7 games. So he is a big difference maker here. Nashville's offense, man, I just don't trust it. I think the goaltending is close. The defense is close. Roman Josi is the best player by far in the series. But that offensive gap, like if Kessel and Keller get going, I think Arizona wins it.
And Nicholas Jarmolson is coming back too, or I think he played that's a couple big. Games there at the end. So that's another big one, playoff experience, big guy on the blue line. The thing I will say in defense of Nashville's offense, the good news here, I think, is that it was a down year for them offensively. We saw Granlin have a little bit of an up and down season. Ryan Johansson actually came out recently, was pretty hard on himself for the down season he had. And Philip Forsberg, who we all had high expectations for, he had a decent season, but still, you've got to know his upside is even higher. So I'm going to shackle up here with the Predators just in the hopes that they can A, find that offense, and then B, look at Roman Josi on the blue line. This guy is right up there with Johnny Norris this season, taking home that hardware. So I like those two factors to make the difference in the qualifying round.
This is an absolute no play for me. As I look at the qualifying round series, there's only two or three bets I would put in, and I'll recap that at the end of the show. Again, you can't bet every single series because you're not going to end up on top. You need to pick and choose your spots. You need to pick and choose your spots, and this is a spot for me. Just like the Islander series, no interest. Steer clear, gun to my head, and this is just throwing up a coin at this point. I take the Predators. I would.
Injury note, Connor Garland, I think, is expected to miss this whole playoffs, this whole postseason. Connor Garland was a big contributor to that Arizona offense. And Bob, if you were talking earlier about the theme on your bets being, can these players score goals or can these teams score goals? Arizona is going to be hard-pressed to score goals without Connor Garland, who might have even been their league leader in goals this season.
Right. I mean, I can't hear about Phil Kessel somehow awakening. Phil Kessel has been absent the entire season. And now he's been sitting at home for how many months? I mean, sorry, I can't hear about Phil Kessel generating offense. Can't hear about it. I'll take the team that has the best player on the ice, which is Josi. And Taylor Hall hasn't been good with the Coyotes. That has not worked out. Will he wake up come playoff time? Maybe. He's in a contract year. Maybe he wakes up. But again, this is not a series I have any interest in playing. If I had a gun to my head, which thankfully I don't, I'd take the Predators.
Yeah, and the Coyotes, their line combinations were totally out of whack and inconsistent. They did find some continuity with Dvorak, Hall, and Connor Garland, who did lead them in goals this year with 22, by the way. But yeah, I think if Garland is out, that's one of those things where, like, sure, Kessel could move up on paper or Clayton Keller could move up on paper. But, like, look at Clayton Keller's shooting percentage over the past two seasons. It was like 9% this year and 7% the year before that. He is a far cry from that 65-point player that he was in his rookie season. So I'm a little worried about those guys stepping up, like Bobby said. That's a good point. There's no given that each individual guy is going to finally overachieve.
And this is another coin flip series, Jets, Flames. Again, no interest. I have great interest in watching all of these series. I'm going to sit down and I'm going to enjoy the entertainment and it's going to be wonderful hockey, but not a series I would bet, not a series I feel strongly either way. But am I interested in seeing the Jets and Flames go at it in a best of five series? You sure? You bet I am. I'm very interested in it, just not interested in betting it.
Yeah, the money seems to say it is a coin flip. What are they, both -110, I think. But to me, as much as I looked at this and said, I don't know who's going to win, the fact that the Jets have Connor Hellebuyck in goal, after he was a Vezina finalist two seasons ago, last season he did not pan out for him, but this season he's been great, and I think that he will be the factor. I would take him above whoever the Flames start, right? I mean, he's better than either of those guys no matter what they do, and I think all it takes is a goalie has to steal one game, right? And then that's it. You need one game. Two would be good, but if a goalie can stand on his head one game, you have to think the Jets will be able to outscore the Flames, you know, in a game or two. So I like Hellebuyck as the goalie. I think the Jets are going to win. I wouldn't be surprised if they swept this thing, but I'm not going to throw money on it because there's nothing to gain, really.
This was one of the only series that we all agreed with each other. We all have Winnipeg, right, boys? I mean, yeah. Winnipeg's offense, I think, is a tad better than Calgary's. Their goaltending is a lot better, and they also have the clear workhorse with Hellebuyck leading the league, tied with Carey Price for the lead in appearances this season and had a .922 save percentage. Interesting thing, the only time these two teams played each other this year was in the Heritage Classic on a neutral site. So they're going to be playing on a neutral site again here once this series kicks off.
I would bet this series, and I would bet Winnipeg here. The main concern I had with Calgary this season, aside from Gaudreau and Monahan coming up shorthanded on point totals, was Mark Giordano. He had a little bit of a setback this year. I'm not sure what was wrong, whether he was had some nagging injuries or what. It just wasn't the same Giordano we saw from the previous year. That is a major part of that Calgary team, especially, as you mentioned, Davey, because they're playing in front of two guys that really I don't look at and have confidence in either one of them, especially in the postseason. You saw the same thing. Even when Calgary was firing on all cylinders last year, round one against the Avalanche, there was just no spark on that Flames roster. It's going to take a lot out of Matthew Tkachuk to stir something up against the Jets, but guess what? That Jets forward team, they're all big. All four lines are physical. I know their back end underwent a lot of changes. That doesn't concern me so much. Neil Pionk has arrived. They've got guys that can step up and get it done. Put a shekel on the Jets, and you can thank me later.
I agree. I agree the Jets are a nice favorite, at least in my opinion, and you guys seem to agree. I think that one big factor for the Jets in putting all these pieces together is Cody Eakin, who they just acquired from the Vegas Golden Knights. He had 5 points in 8 games after the trade, and he is going to be tasked with not only shutting down either Monahan or Backlund, who had a really nice season, but he's also going to be on a line with Patrick Laine and try to get the most out of him at even strength. So I think Eakin on both ends of the ice is a really nice sleeper that could make a difference in this series.
Yeah, one thing before we get to the next series. I don't think anyone's going to be talking about this, but in that only game they played, Brian Little scored the overtime goal in the Heritage Classic. There's a chance that he could be back. He had a perforated eardrum, and he's been going through a lot of injuries. But I think that that's a guy, you know, he's a great depth forward. We know what he used to do. So, to me, if they can get a guy like him back, I think that also gives some boosts to the extra boost to the team, too. So, that's just something I think I would look forward to as another storyline.
And I think you guys are right in the sense that both these teams going into this series are minus 110. I think by the time the puck drops, you'll see the Jets as bigger favorites. I think you'll see the Jets in that minus 120 to minus 130 range. Mm-hmm. And I think a big reason for that is Hellebuck. You guys might convince me with what I just heard with the roundtable, maybe a shekel on the Jets. But my instincts were I just didn't have a good feeling either way. But you know what? Hearing you guys, maybe I go with the Jets. Maybe I go with the Jets. You guys know where I'm going with the Wild Canucks series. I mean, you don't want me to get started on that.
We know. Yeah, the Wild, I think they pose a real threat here. I am picking the Canucks, like I believe Robbie is. But, yeah, I think when you look at the Wild, they're a team that missed the playoffs last year. Before that, had 3 straight first-round exits. So they do have a lot of playoff experience, but not a lot of success. So – maybe that works against them. This is a tough one, though, for me. I do like I was talking with Davey about the Canucks. They have 2 guys who won the Cup with the LA Kings in Toffoli and Tanner Pearson, and that's a really nice storyline that could work in their favor here to get them over the hump. They have more talent than the Wild, for sure. They just have to see it materialize here.
So for those who don't know, Pete Jensen and myself are going to be covering this series for NHL.com. So we basically, when the playoffs start, even before the qualifying round, the two of us are responsible for writing news and everything for this series. So I've done a little bit of my homework. I like the Canucks. You mentioned the playoff experience. Canucks, 499 games playoff experience. The Wild are like 600-something because they made the playoffs 5-6 years in a row. But most of those guys haven't really played as many games, and I think the experience factor, not only those 2 guys you mentioned, but Jay Beagle, he just won with the Capitals. We know what he does, taking the draws and how good he is. So I think everything to me adds up for the Canucks against the Wild in this series. And yes, I mentioned faceoffs and Jay Beagle.
Davey and Petey with the history and what happened 5 years ago and Jay Beagle and faceoffs. Stop it. If you're going to talk about the Canucks, all you have to talk about is Markstrom and Pedersen and, you know, the young talent they have. And you could sell me. I don't want to hear about playoff experience and 4 or 5 years ago and Jay Beagle. I don't need to hear it. Now, for the listeners, I have the Wild are close to my heart. Okay, they're close to my heart. So I'm going to stick with my guns here. I'm going to stick with Kevin Fiala. I'm going to stick with Parisi. I'm going to stick with Ryan Suter, right? I'm going to stick with these guys, and I'm going to take the Wild at plus money. Billy Guerin, my favorite GM in the league. I'm going to take him at plus 120. It's not going to be a Wild bet. meaning it's not going to be that wild amount of money, but it is going to be on the wild. I'm going to take them. I'm going to ride with them. And I'll probably lose. But you know what? I'm going to stick with my guns and my heart. I'm going to take the Minnesota Wild.
I'll tell you how the Wild could win this series. It'll be on the power play. Zach Parise was quietly top 10 in power play goals this season. No one saw that coming preseason. With the addition of Kevin Fiala emerging as a potential superstar in that market out there, that's the difference for them in this series. If they have the power play upper hand over the Vancouver Canucks, they will win the series. However, when you have Quinn Hughes, when you have Pettersson, when you have a healthy Brock Besser, when you have JT Miller, that is all you need. Toffoli and Pearson are icing on the cake as far as the Vancouver Canucks are concerned. That'll be the difference maker. The Wild can keep up even strength, but if the power play favors the Canucks, that series is done.
When Jay Beagle wins a defensive faceoff in game 5, if the Canucks win the series, you guys will be hearing from me. That's all I have.
I know, Davey. I already know that.
I think Robbie said something about Beagle the last show. So Beagle's getting a lot of love from Fantasy on Ice crew, I think. The guy you mentioned that could really break this series up is Kevin Fiala. He had a breakout season in the second half of the year, but this is a guy, like in a playoff pool, let's say, nobody's going to be drafting this guy until the later rounds. So, and one thing I think about with Fiala, remember the 1 year that Nashville went to the Cup final? He was lights out in the first round of that series, scored like 3 or 4 goals, and then was injured and done for the playoffs. So, like, I'm interested to see Fiala take the next step forward in the postseason where he's shown he can perform before.
The best point made throughout that entire roundtable on why the Wild will lose is what Robbie said. The power play of the Canucks and the talent they have, the goal-scoring ability on the power play, will bury the Wild. So just don't take penalties and let me hang on tight to the Wild, and hopefully they can play nip-tuck hockey, you know, play their style and frustrate the Canucks to the point where the Wild can prevail with some late goals and some good goaltending.
The reason why I'm putting the emphasis on special teams in all these series so heavily is because the neutral site matchups, there's not going to be home ice. There's not going to be a team getting gelled up because they're on the road in a loud barn. There's going to be none of that. So special teams is also the reason why I have Edmonton as a clear favorite over the Chicago Blackhawks. I would love to see Pat Kane play the St. Louis Blues in the opening round of the playoffs. But this team here, Chicago, is over the hill. When you look at Edmonton, got a top 5 power play unit and the second best penalty kill in the National Hockey League. Keep in mind, in 2018-19, last season, their penalty kill was second to last. Now they're second best. Dave Tippett in one season has worked wonders. They've got defensive forwards. They've got forwards that can score. I don't care about the goalie concerns because that team can put up 5 a game comfortably.
So of the 24 teams to qualify, the Blackhawks have the 23rd highest or the second lowest odds to win the Cup, 25,000 to 1. I would throw $10 on there, $100. Why not? Not 100, maybe $10 on there. I think they could beat the Oilers. It's a short series, which definitely helps them as opposed to it being 7. And yes, they don't have a great goalie anymore. Crawford is injured, and then behind him they have Malcolm Subban, who is, you know, obviously trading for Rob. When they traded Robin Leonard for him, that didn't help their goaltending. But I don't know, something about that. They still have the 2 defensemen there, Kane, Taze, Keith, like all those guys from the core. Why? This isn't worth throwing $10 on, no?
To win the Cup, Davey, the fine. Cup? You want to, Davey, you're also the person at the beginning of the season who were dying to place money on the Devils to win the Stanley Cup. So calm down over there. We're talking about the series prices. And right now, I'm taking the Edmonton Oilers. They're one of my favorite picks. They're one of my 3 or 4 favorite picks. I'm going to take Dreisaitl. I'm going to take McDavid. And I'm not even going to look at the Blackhawks and the disarray I've seen from them all season long. Yeah, they got Patty Kane. Yeah, they got Taves. Their coach back there behind the bench doesn't have a clue what's going on. The team is in disarray. The goaltending's in disarray. I got to take the Oilers here. I got to take the Oilers. I get it. Best of 5 series. I think the Blackhawks are also going to be one of those trendy underdog picks just based on pedigree. But I have to go with what I've seen all season long, and it has not been a good product on the ice. Give me the Oilers.
And Robbie mentioned the coaching matchup. I think this might be one of the biggest mismatches in coaching with Tippett against Jeremy Colliton. I didn't really love – I was high-ish on the Blackhawks to surpass their over-under in the preseason. And I was disappointed with some of the line combinations, some of the power play. Like, Kubalik had 30 goals this year not playing on power play one. Like, what on earth is that about? So I think Tippett, from what he did in the past and also this season in accelerating the Oilers back into contention, I think that's one of the biggest mismatches here. Yeah, that's like my biggest takeaway and why I would ultimately pick Edmonton. And also plus 130 is not that great in terms of value. There's much more value in Montreal, you know.
Okay, so to put a bow on the series, here we go. Bob Bender's picks, locks, lock them in, call your bookie, call, go take a trip to Vegas, whatever you have to do, get them in. Maple Leafs, minus 160 over the Blue Jackets. Lock it in. I will take the Wild, little shekel, again, close to my heart, plus money, away we go. I will take the Oilers, minus 150, feel great about it. And I will take the Rangers at plus 130, value play. The Hurricanes do not belong to be minus 150 favorites in this spot. Give me the Rangers, and there you have it. Those are my picks. Lock them in. They're not going to change. Maybe, you know, maybe a little bit of how much money I put here, how much money I put there, but those are the series I'm focusing on, and maybe you could sell me on the Jets based on Connor Hellebuck.
What do you think, Davey? Got your locks?
Yeah, if I had to choose locks for the series, I would say I would have to think that I would throw money on the Panthers as one of them and the Jets as the other one. Those two are my like locks. I think those two are going to win, get you some money.
I really do like Blue Jackets plus 140. I think it's tighter than people expect and people think. The Maple Leafs have the advantage going into it, but what is happening on paper doesn't always turn out in reality during the Stanley Cup playoffs. The Blue Jackets are getting so many guys back from injury. So I really like that Blue Jackets plus 140. I'm undecided on the Panthers Islanders. I have Florida for now, but that's not a lock for me. The Rangers are a lock for me for reasons Bobby mentioned. Also, their road success, like I said, I really like them. And then in the Western Conference, I feel really strongly that Arizona is going to beat Nashville. So I would consider them one of my locks as well.
I like that. That's a different take there that is good for someone to put cash on. If I'm in my shoes, I'm walking up to the counter. I've got a duffel bag full of pesos. The series I'm absolutely certain about. Toronto's winning. Edmonton's winning. Vancouver's winning. And Winnipeg's winning. Now, the other series, I did give them the way I lean. I like the teams that I lean with. But again, if this is me putting my hard-earned dollars on the series, those are my four picks. Now, I also wanted to throw out two teaser picks here for cup odds. I know that this is way preliminary to even be talking about this, considering we did not even get to the seeding tournament. But two great value picks I love here. Look at Edmonton and look at Toronto, plus 2,500 each. These two teams are young. They're Canadian teams, which haven't been in the cup final and who knows when. Who knows how long it's been. Those are two teams right now, preliminary watch, for plus 2,500. I think wouldn't surprise anybody to see a little Stanley Cup final matchup there.
I agree with you there, but my thing is there any teams you think that aren't going to have to play this qualifying round that you would take? Because for me, looking at the odds, I think the Stars have the fewest of those eight teams that have buys at 1,800 to 1. And I mean, to me, I think that's doable. There were what, one gold from the last year from the Western Conference Finals. So I like the value there for the Stars personally.
I like the Stars value as well. That would be one of the picks. Listen, I'm going to limit my Stanley Cup final winner picks to two. And so the Stars would be one of them. And then I'll go with a deep, deep long shot. You know, again, I kind of like Vegas too at plus 750, but the deep, deep long shot I would take would have to be, I'm going to have to do it. I would take the Rangers. As much as I want to take the Wild, I would take the Rangers and say, yeah, you know what, at plus 6,600, even the Blue Jackets at plus 10,000, like, you know, you put $50 on to win $5,000 if Tortorella can go on a run. It's sort of intriguing, but I think Dallas, and as Robbie said, the Canucks, the Oilers, those are good prices also.
Rangers are a great pick for sure at plus 6,600. I mean, third lowest in the – is that third – fourth lowest in the entire 24 team tournament. I think that's really good value for sure. Yeah, I think, you know, Colorado's definitely one of the biggest favorites for me. And I also think that Winnipeg is a team that has a capability of going deep because their offense is so good. Their defense has been good enough this season. And with a break for Hellebuck, with his heavy workload, Hellebuck has, I think, close to a 920 save percentage in his postseason career. So he can take them the distance. And remember, that's a team that maybe only a year or two ago we were talking about as a team that could win it all. So don't sleep on the Winnipeg Jets at plus 6,000.
And to answer Davey's question, are there teams outside the qualifying round? There absolutely are. Look at the St. Louis Blues for plus 1,200. I mean, come on. Like, that team healthy easily can do it again, but we'll tease it with that. That'll definitely be the next episode. We can break that all down. For now, though, if you do have more gambling advice, if you want to get these picks in, hit me up on Twitter at NHL Reese, P at NHL Jensen, Bobby at Airchecked, and Davey Sats at David Satriano.
And just a word of caution to my fellow gamblers out there, you know, limit your Stanley Cup final picks, because what happens is you start spreading all this money around and it becomes a waste. So zero in on the teams you like, you know, the Stars, the Canucks, you know, take a deep long shot, focus in on one of those favorites like, you know, the Avs or even, you know, the Bruins, and that's it. You know, you don't need to be placing 8 to 10 wagers on these Stanley Cup finals. Focus on the series you like and then single out some teams that you think can make a run and have some fun with it and take the ride with them. It's a lot of fun. Enjoy it. But don't start taking, you know, 15 teams and then you come up empty. That's what happens in these golf tournaments for me. It's like I got 15 golfers and then none of them hit the board, and it's just a total waste.
One other crazy thing to think about when you look at the favorites, like, just for example, Boston, who's the favorite to win the Stanley Cup, that team lost twice this year to the Detroit Red Wings. So, like, you really never know, especially in a fluky 5-game series, what could happen. So in terms of the cup odds and the futures, I always like to go a little bit deeper. I would start with, like, the ones Robbie said, like Edmonton and Toronto, and even go deeper down, like Winnipeg and the Rangers. Like I said, I think that's where the real crazy value is. For gambling in the Stanley Cup playoffs before they begin. So again, for Bobby, Davey Satriano, thanks so much for joining us. Robbie Reese, Pete Jensen, we'll talk to you again next time. Hit us up with some questions, and thanks for listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice.